From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, December 2nd, 2021.
This Day in Maine is made possible by the Maine law firm of Eaton Peabody, serving generations of Maine families and businesses from offices in Augusta, Bangor, Brunswick, Ellsworth, and Portland. And by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare, helping members stay healthy and happy with comprehensive coverage, smart digital health tools, and engaging well-being programs.
Maine is reporting 847 new coronavirus cases today. The state CDC says that three more people have died and 324 are hospitalized. The number of patients on ventilators hit another all-time high of 53. Maine CDC Director Nirav Shah says that the new Omicron variant has not yet been detected here in the state, but the Delta variant continues to drive the current surge. State environmental officials have approved an agreement fining Sprague Operating Resources nearly $18,000 for spilling more than a ton of plastic debris into Penobscot Bay last year. Last December, two bales of debris, which were en route from Ireland to an incinerator in Orrington, dropped into the water as they were unloaded from a cargo vessel. The spill wasn't reported to the state until about a week later, after the Department of Environmental Protection received a complaint about waste coming ashore near Sears Island and then visited the site. Cleanup continued for a few weeks, but some plastic remained in the environment. Under the agreement approved by the Maine Board of Environmental Protection on Wednesday, the company will be required to pay a $17,800 fine. While the DEP says the penalty is appropriate, Peter Blair with the Conservation Law Foundation argued that it didn't go far enough. He says that the company should have alerted state regulators to the spill quickly, and by not doing so, it violated the public's trust.
This breach of trust does need to be sufficiently punished, not only to deter other companies, but to make sure Sprague operates correctly in the future.
The agreement has also been signed by the Maine Attorney General's office. A Trenton-based union that represents lobstermen and other industry stakeholders is making an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court to halt new fishing restrictions in a nearly 1,000-square-mile area off of Maine. Federal regulators say critically endangered North Atlantic right whales could be killed there by entanglement with lobster trap rope and have barred traditional lobstering from October through January. In a press release, the Maine Lobstering Union says it's appealing a lower court ruling to lift an injunction against the restrictions that the union had won from a U.S. District Court judge in Bangor. Under that latest ruling, lobstermen who fish the area about 30 miles off the mid-coast are supposed to have removed their gear by this week. The union says the decision to close Maine waters to the industry is, quote, based on misguided and incomplete science. Acoustic detectors launched by the University of Maine, meanwhile, have picked up confirmed calls of North Atlantic right whales in or near the disputed zone within the last month. Scientists say there are fewer than 340 of the animals left on the planet. Residents in the downeast town of Jonesport last night voted to put a six-month hold on a proposal to approve a new aerospace facility. The 60-4 vote at a special town meeting gives residents time to create an ordinance after a Brunswick company called Blue Shift proposed a small-bore rocket launch site on an island off the mainland. Fred Bever reports.
Blue Shift has been pioneering a mini-satellite, or CubeSat, technology that uses non-toxic biofuels with successful experimental launches from limestone. Jonesport Select Board member Harry Fish says townspeople are interested in the economic opportunity, but there's also concern that local lobstermen might lose time at sea during launches or have to contend with pollution from rocket fuel.
I'm in the opinion right now, let's at least look at this, see if it's possible to work out something that's suitable for everybody. Keep in mind, if there's no ordinance, it's the Wild West. Anyone can do whatever they want.
Blue Shift CEO Sasha Derry says that the company could confine launch times to hours when lobstermen are mostly off the water and to summertime Sundays when state law already bars lobster fishing.
We want to work around folks that are making a living off of the waters. We don't want to impact their ability to generate an income or revenue from working the waters.
Derry says he supports the moratorium, but he's also hopeful that Blue Shift and the town can come to terms before 6 months are passed. Blue Shift is holding an informational meeting at the Jonesport Beals High School tonight at 6 p.m. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
The Maine Department of Corrections says a prisoner has died at the Maine State Prison in Warren. William Cochi of Bangor died this morning. He was 42 years old. An MDOC spokesperson declined to comment on the cause of death, which was attended by medical staff. There are currently COVID outbreaks at MDOC facilities, but it's unclear whether Cochi's is related. An update on those outbreaks is expected tomorrow. Consistent with department policy, the attorney general and medical examiner were both notified. Cochi had been serving a sentence for domestic violence and illegal possession of a firearm. Governor Janet Mills touted the coming benefits of federal infrastructure legislation as she spoke to an online transportation conference today.
And with more than $2.4 billion of those federal funds allocated to the state of Maine, we're going to modernize our vast multimodal transportation system while also making our infrastructure more resilient to the impacts of climate change.
But another speaker, James Tyman of the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials, warned that rising materials prices could reduce the number of projects that can be done with the federal money. Tyman also says that contractors may have to pay more for scarce construction workers, which could also lead to higher costs. The annual gathering of Maine transportation professionals is being held online this year as a result of the pandemic. And the University of Maine at Presque Isle is installing a new solar array on its campus. The university says the new array will generate close to 500,000 kilowatt hours of energy each year. The college had previously used a wind turbine on campus, but a mechanical issue caused a fire there in 2018, leading the school to look for new energy options. The project will cost about $1.2 million. The school estimates that the new array will save about $42,000 per year in energy costs. And in the weather tonight, rain should end for most of the state with some snow showers in the north, lows in the mid-20s to 30s north to south. Some sun will peek through tomorrow, but it'll be windy with a few snow showers in the northern mountains, highs in the low 20s to about 40 north to south. Hundreds of long-term care insurance policyholders packed a virtual public forum of the Bureau of Insurance today to speak out against one company's request for premium hikes of up to 178%. Genworth Life Insurance Company says the increases are on par with those in other states, but policyholders accuse Genworth of mismanagement and of padding executives' pockets at the expense of its customers. Carol Bousquet reports.
Genworth Life Insurance's premium increase request has unleashed a flood of criticism from furious policyholders who say they were promised that their long-term care premiums and coverage would remain stable. Policyholder Carol Harper says the company made misguided assumptions about the number and amount of claims it would receive.
Sadly, they got it wrong, very wrong. And now we are faced with exorbitant rate increases on the backs of Maine seniors, forcing them to make unpleasant and disturbing decisions about their long-term care insurance policies.
Other customers, including Linda Sowers, worry that Genworth doesn't have the means to cover future claims, especially in the face of lawsuits brought against the company by customers alleging fraud.
I'm concerned about your financial solvency, generally speaking, and I'm concerned about these rate increases attempting on some level to take care of that.
Genworth Senior Vice President of Long-Term Care, Jamala Arland, says the company has paid out $22 billion in long-term care claims to date, $2 billion last year alone. She says the company has ample reserves to cover claims and offers options to help customers refine their plans to meet their needs and budget.
And while rate actions are an essential part of the management of Genworth's enforced long-term care block, we continue to focus on new initiatives that can have a beneficial impact on policyholders and on the company's claims paying ability.
The Bureau of Insurance will review the rate hikes over several months and use third-party actuarial data to help it decide whether to approve the increases. Insurance officials say customers will receive notices of any approved rate increases, along with options for alternatives, next summer. For Maine Public Radio, I'm Carol Bousquet.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, the subject is the best and overlooked books of 2021. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thanks for listening.